Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think, you, the baby boomers?
Oh, this song is terrible.
Oh, come on.
This is the
Jingle Boom. The Jingle Boom.
With what's the name of the crew that this is Spike's favorite song? I can't remember the name of the crew.
Well, you got Big Justice.
Yeah, the
AJ
Rizzler.
And the Rizzler.
Yeah, no, nah, this is terrible.
It's not good.
This is not good at all.
My kids love it. We've had this on a loop for about two straight weeks.
For real?
Oh yeah.
This is terrible.
My goodness.
It's Big Justice.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
Something's off about the dad.
Well, AJ, he was a Eric.
He missed
Justice.
His moment, and now he's riding the kids' coattails.
There's something a little bit weird.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
What do you mean?
Is this a conversation
for off the air?
Maybe.
It sounds like
you think it's that bad.
Well, no. I mean, it's not like nothing like heinous. It's just a little bit weird. Like he's prostituting his kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Rizzler's not even his kid.
Right,
that's
right.
Just another kid. I don't know where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what you mean he took somebody else's kid?
I don't think he took him. I mean, just think
the way you said it.
That ain't even his kid.
It's not. Bryce Harper was doing a home run derby with these guys over the weekend. They're everywhere. Yeah, the afternoon show plays their stuff a lot. I thought of them because, you know, we're talking about the baby boomers here. Those guys, they bring the boom. Hugh doesn't like this.
I like the Broad Street Brawlers.
It feels like
you could use that for any Eagles defense in history that was ever good. Like,
you know what's funny? Nobody ever came up with a good defensive name that I could think of. Ever.
For your team?
Or any team.
But there was like Gangrene, right?
Okay, Gangrene is that. Yeah.
Well, the Legion of Boom was a great one.
Steel Curtain.
Okay, I remember the New York Sack Exchange.
There's been some really good purple people.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, it's like, what do they call the Baltimore Ravens defense?
I don't think they had one.
No, they didn't. They just called Baltimore Ravens.
The Cowboys in the 70s were the Doomsday defense, I believe, right?
Doomsday.
Yeah, the Doomsday defense.
Okay, I remember that
one. Purple People Eaters, Steel Curtain.
The no-name defense. Wasn't it a no-name defense, too?
That was Miami, maybe?
I think so.
You might be right on that. I think we were better as a society with nicknames 50 years ago. We can't even come up with one on a whole show today.
Not a one.
Again, the Baby Boomers is pretty good.
It's good. I want it to be unique to this particular group.
They're the youngest defense in the NFL.
I would like it to be something that incorporates the exciting whites.
But there's only two of them.
I know, but that's what makes it, I think it would make it unique.
Well, we'd have to do exciting whites and then incorporate the other guys.
I mean, like Jalen Carter's kind of the anchor.
But now
he's not, you know.
You know what's funny? We got to be careful with this.
It's a weird conversation.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable
anymore. We might need to workshop this one off the air.
I realize how uncomfortable this conversation was as it was coming out of my mouth.
You know what's funny? When you said it and I said what I said, I was like, yeah, we probably need to workshop this one off the air.
We'll do it off the air. For now, the baby boomers is the best we got.
They should embrace the whole Hughes defense is a luxury thing and go by like the necessity or the luxury, like something tongue in cheek that's a shot at Hugh.
They start taking shots at Hugh in all the post games.
Like
it'd be great.
Yep. Pettiness.
I would not have a problem with that.
And then you would take credit, right?
Man, I'm taking credit now.
If I were you, I would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones. Then we'll go over what happened across the league and how it impacted the Eagles in Week 13. T in North Philly. What's up, T?
How y'all doing today?
What's up, T? What's up?
Listen, I had to get on here to say, Hugh, you my man, but we got to give up the take, bro.
What are you talking about? I've given this defense their props. What do you mean? Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we got to give up the take, though. Like, defense is no longer a luxury. It's definitely.
They're playing well. What do you want me to say?
Oh, but see, T's ready to say it with his chest. You're dancing around.
I'm not dancing around. I said they're playing well.
Listen, my whole thing is we have the best defense in the league. Like, we just went up against one of the most explosive offenses in the game today.
No doubt.
Other than ours.
So what's your problem with what I got to say?
Oh, it's nothing. I feel like we just got retired to take.
No,
he was with you.
I got five weeks.
Oh, Hugh, it's over, man.
T's throwing you a life raft, buddy.
I got five
weeks.
He's
going down with you.
Listen, you'll never give up the Alamo. They didn't give up on the Alamo knowing that it was about to be a wrap.
The Alamo.
They rolled that thing out to the end.
It was in the 1800s.
Yeah, they rolled that thing out.
Young people don't even know what the Alamo is anymore.
No, Tito probably know what the Alamo is.
You know what the Alamo is, T?
Yes.
That's the whole point, is to not forget.
Yeah.
To remember the Alamo.
Yeah, I got 5 weeks, dog. I'm going to ride it out. I got to ride because it's about the principality at this point.
Listen, my whole thing at this is like, if you really got to wait 5 weeks, you expect last season all over again.
No. Hold on.
He's got a great point.
Don't do that, T. I'm not expecting that. What I'm saying is this. This trip for me is probably going to end up in Louisiana with a green beard. But until that actually happens, I'm not conceding to these two clowns up in here.
It sounds like you don't trust this defense still.
These two bullies, I'm not conceding to these two bullies that I work with on a day-to-day basis.
I like to read between the lines, and what I hear is Hugh doesn't take this defense seriously. He wants to see how they handle down the stretch.
See what I'm talking about?
Questioning Fangio.
See what
saying,
I'm talking
don't
about?
Pay no, bond.
I think he's onto something.
Yeah. Two bullies, man. Work with two bullies. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of conceding my take until the absolute last day.
Everyone knows defense is a necessity.
And they like to tell me on a day-to-day basis. I get it.
Hold on. Are we not going to say that every defense is a necessity? But this one is. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
Baltimore had a defense, and then we punched them in the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
and they're playing excited. They're playing with a lot of energy. That's the one thing that jumped out to me yesterday. They had a whole quarter where Baltimore had the ball.
And they didn't score.
Not only that, though, but one thing that stand out to me this year versus last year is that we got more people on the sidelines with passion other than A.J. Brown. Like, last year it was only A.J.
They care. It seems like they're all into this way more. And that could be a product of winning. T, we appreciate it. But
I think I might have a name. Somebody said.
For the defense? What do you got?
Somebody said, Tanya, shout out to Tanya. She said, since this defense is luxury, how about calling them the debt collectors?
The debt collectors?
I kind of like that one.
Debt collectors.
I kind of like the debt, because it's like you collected a debt that I said you didn't matter that much, and now you collected the debt.
It's your debt.
Yeah, they're collecting my debt. Mm. Debt collectors.
We could also call them the grave diggers. They're digging your takes grave. Yeah. Week by week, they're just digging that grave.
Yeah, I kind of like the debt collectors.
All right, we got some good options here.
That's a good one. I like that. Well, Tanya, shout out to Tanya for sliding the DMs and shooting that one to me.
All right, before we go any further on the phone lines, let's go around the NFL here. Week number 13. That's tonight with the Broncos and the Browns. But for all intents and purposes, we're there through 13 weeks in the NFL. The big one, we kind of alluded to it a little bit, but didn't fully go into it. You may have been done with dinner, out to have dinner. Maybe you were falling asleep. If you were watching the Bears-Lions game on Thursday at the end, you witnessed the worst. Eberflus makes Sirianni look like Belichick and Landry and Shula rolled into one. That was the dumbest coaching I've ever seen. Everyone sat there and said with their family, this guy should be fired tomorrow, and then he was fired tomorrow. They let 30 seconds just tick off the clock with the timeout in field goal range and then threw a Hail Mary to lose the game.
You know what's funny about that is that he sat there in that press conference and he tried his damnedest to explain Like, there were people that don't know NFL rules that knew that when there was 30 seconds ticking off the clock, something's not right. He's not. They knew he was supposed to do something. They didn't know what he was supposed to do. But they knew that whatever it was not good. And so much so that there was a report that even the players, they went in the locker room, and I guess he went to break it down. And they was like, nah, cuz. dog. You need to sit this one out, partner. ain't nothing you can say to me at this point.
The Bears trotted him out there for the press conference on Friday, then fired him afterwards. I'm looking at the box score right now. Like, if you didn't see it live, you'd say there's no way this is actually true. Caleb Williams was sacked at the 41-yard line with 36 seconds to go. They had a timeout. The next play was the last play of the game. How does that happen? And it obviously hurt the Eagles. That game was destined for overtime. If they just call a timeout and then it's a long field goal, maybe they make it, maybe they miss it, but they probably could have run one more play, got out of bounds, or spiked the ball, and then kicked a field goal, and the game goes to overtime. The Eagles may have been in the number one seed right now if it wasn't for Eberflus. So he was a disaster on Thursday, got fired on Friday. On Friday, the Chiefs do it again, Hugh. It's every game. They win every single game, and you're like, how'd they win that game? They got outplayed by the Raiders on Friday, and they still won the game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
With the center snapping the ball and Aiden O'Connell knowing where the ball is. That one was pretty wild on Friday. Hugh, what hit you yesterday from the other games? I mean, the one thing do you take the Vikings seriously? We haven't mentioned them in like five weeks.
They've been that team that's been flying, like, I guess flying under the radar. Nobody's really talking about it.
They have the same record as the Eagles.
Talked about them earlier in the season, but then they kind of flew under the radar. I think for them right now, that's probably the best place for them to be. You know, because the two teams that everybody's talking about, which they got to see the Detroit Lions later on, is the Eagles and the Detroit Lions. So that's probably, they're probably in a good spot for that.
The Packers get talked about. I think the Packers are better than the Vikings, but the Vikings are 10-2. I don't really buy it, but they're going to be in the playoffs, and who knows, we might see them when they're in the postseason. All right, the last thing was late last night. After the Eagles game, Saquon had moved to clearly the second shortest odds to win the MVP, and it wasn't that big of a gap between Josh Allen and Saquon, but then Allen had himself a night last night. He ran for a touchdown, he threw for a touchdown, and then was he credited with a receiving touchdown?
Yeah, on the same play. It was a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown on that play.
And he got engaged.
He got credit for both?
Yes, he did.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, sure it does. He threw a touchdown that resulted. He threw a ball that resulted in a touchdown, and he also received a ball that resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah, but if I said to you there were four touchdowns in the game and there were 21 points, you'd say it doesn't make any sense.
Well, so like Mariota got credit for throwing a ball that got tipped back to him that he carried into the end zone. It's the same ruling.
Is Saquon going to lose me a 150-1 MVP bet because of the stat?
Maybe, yeah.
So latest odds for the NFL MVP. It is Allen as a pretty big favorite right now. Josh Allen is -250 to be the NFL MVP. Saquon at 5-1. Lamar at 9-1. Nobody else shorter than 10-1. It feels like a two-person race right now. Feels like Allen and Saquon have separated.
Yeah. That was a tough one for the Saquon MVP.
I still don't think Allen has amazing stats.
Yeah, but like if you...
I know, but
if you watch the Bills, the only reason they should be as good as they are right now is because of Josh Allen.
Well, he's a great player.
But
they have their best running game they've ever had with him.
Right.
Josh Cook's really
James
good.
Cook.
James yeah. Cook,
James
sorry.
Cook.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they run the ball really well. I don't know.
He's an MVP. I mean.
Are Josh Allen's numbers that different than Jalen Hurts?
We get too wrapped up in numbers,
I think. But usually that is significant for the MVP.
But who has more of an impact on their team's winning, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? Just be honest about it.
Of course, Josh Allen.
Okay.
He's a better
Value.
Player.
And their receivers weren't playing well early on.
I don't see he has an MVP resume. I don't see it.
I'm getting a little too caught up in numbers.
I don't see it.
Value.
But numbers usually dictate who wins, my point.
No, but it shouldn't be, right?
Well, like, but that's different.
But you can be realistic about it and say, what value is Josh Allen bringing to his team?
Are you on value?
We know the question.
There's still value
the
on Saquon, 5-1.
Sure.
He gets 2,000 yards. I think he's winning the MVP.